Tonight, open, if you will, to the book of Jeremiah in your Bible, the book of Jeremiah. And we're going to look at this book tonight, Jeremiah chapter number 3. And as you're turning there, I want to just call your attention to my wife's ministry, our book table in the back. She has a book table, and it's available for you folks to take a look and see good things back there. It'll be a blessing to you, a great help in your life, and edifying you. And they're reasonably priced, and we just encourage you to stop by. A lot of good music, CDs, also books that will be a blessing to you as you read them, stories that will be a great blessing to you. And my wife will be back there to answer any questions you might have. We have scripture verses as well, King James verses, and you know, all the verses in those two notebooks back there, you could get them. We have them in our possession, and you can make wonderful plaques that you put on the wall, put a frame around them, and we just encourage you to stop by and take a look at her table after the service is over. And we encourage you to look, just there are tremendous books back there you won't find anywhere else. And so we encourage you to stop and take a look at those things. All right, Jeremiah chapter number 3 tonight. We're going to look at verse number 22. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse number 22. The Bible says, "Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God." All right, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer, shall we? Father, thank you so much for every opportunity to open the Bible. We pray you'll use the Bible in our midst tonight. Lord, you know the needs that are here. We pray you'll meet each need. Lord, you have given us the privilege of preaching thy word tonight. And Lord, I pray that we'll respond to it, we'll be receptive to it, that we will not turn away from what your word says. And the Holy Spirit, as he speaks to our hearts. And Father, we'll give you the praise, we'll give you the glory, the credit for what you do. Save that soul that would be here without Jesus Christ tonight. And Father, we'll give you the praise for it all. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, we're living in a time of lots of diseases that are just running rampant across the world, in our country, diseases, you know, just all kinds of physical diseases. And, you know, there is a real blessing in that we know that during the tribulation period, there's going to be many pestilences and diseases that will be, you know, afflicting people. Many people will be afflicted by these diseases, and it just shows us that we are close to the coming of the Lord. When you see all these diseases breaking loose, you know, you know that the tribulation is nearing. And, you know, as the Bible says, we who are saved will be caught out of this world before this horrible time of tribulation breaks loose. I'm so thankful to know that. But tonight, I want to speak to you not on a physical disease, but on a spiritual disease. And I want you to see whether or not you have this disease in your life. You know, it's a terrible disease. It's afflicting our churches. It's affecting our families. It's affecting marriages. It affects the personal lives of people, their spiritual lives. And so I want you to see whether or not this disease has gotten into your life. And the disease I'm talking about tonight is the disease of backsliding. The disease of backsliding. Now, you know, before we can, you know, understand totally this disease, we need to know some things about it. We need to know some things about it. I hope you never get this disease in your life. I hope there's no one in this building that has this disease. But I'm sure that there are those, if they were really honest, this disease is in your life spiritually. It's a spiritual disease. You know, physical disease is what can only affect your body. But spiritual disease affects the soul, affects your spirit. It affects your body as well. Many times, you know, you get a spiritual disease, it can affect you physically as well. So I want us to look at the disease of backsliding tonight. It's a spiritual disease. And spiritual disease is much worse than the physical disease because of the fact that it affects the spirit, the soul, your eternity. It affects so much, spiritual disease does. Now, I want you to see how you can keep this disease out of your life. None of us want disease in our life. I want to show you how you can keep this disease out of your life tonight. And as we look at how you keep out of your life, I think you'll be able to see whether it's in your life. And then I hope that you will take advantage of the fact there is a cure for this disease. And thank God for that. So let's look and consider what is this disease of backsliding. First of all, to keep it out of your life and to understand it, you need to know what it is. You need to know what is the disease of backsliding. First of all, let's consider what it is. It isn't being unsaved, all right? This disease of backsliding is not being unsaved. The Bible makes it very plain. The Bible tells us in verse number 14 of Jeremiah chapter 3, it says, "Turn, O backsliding children," said the Lord. Now, he's talking about the fact that these folks are spiritually children of the Lord. You and I know that we are not born children of God. We are born actually in the family of the devil. And we don't become children of God until we receive Jesus Christ our Savior. I hope you've done that. I hope you've received the Lord. Thank God we don't have to be in the family of the devil. Thank God, we can get out of that family tonight. Amen? And we can get in the family of God. And we can be a son of God, a daughter of God. The Bible talks about a person who has this disease is a person who is saved. If you are not saved, you can never get this disease, say. Oh, you say, well, preacher, I'll never get saved and I'll never have the disease of backsliding. Well, you're right, you'll never have that disease of backsliding. But you know something, you have a worse disease. You have the disease of sin. And that sin disease will take you to hell for all eternity, say.
Yeah.
We're all born with that sin disease. And when we get saved, we get cured of that sin disease. And it can't take us to hell. So, really, if you say, well, I'll never get saved, preacher, and I'll never have the disease of backsliding, you're right, you'll never have it. But you know what? You'll have a worse disease, and that will take you to hell forever. The disease of backsliding can never take a child of God to hell. Only children of God can ever get this disease of backsliding. So, it is not caused by being unsaved, all right? No, a person has this disease of backsliding. It's a saved person. He has or she has received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. The second thing that this disease of backsliding is not, it is not losing your salvation. Thank God, when we get saved, we can never lose our salvation. Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them. I give them eternal life, they shall never, never perish."
Amen.
Praise the Lord, when we get saved, we're saved forever.
Amen.
You can never be kicked out of God's family when you get saved.
Amen.
You know? And so a child of God is eternally secure. Being in this condition of having the disease of backsliding is not, a condition caused by losing your salvation. That's an impossibility. Praise the Lord. All right? Thirdly, it's not caused by going out in the depths of sin. That's not what this disease of backsliding is caused by. Going out and, go back to some old sin hole or go back to the old sins of the world or, go over some bar room somewhere or, going back to the old sin life and living out and out in sin. That is not what causes the disease of backsliding. Now, it may be the result of the disease of backsliding. Oftentimes it is. The disease of backsliding can lead into, depths of iniquity. It really can. If a person doesn't get the disease of backsliding cured, it can take them down a wrong road and take them into to deep sin. There's not a sin that a believer couldn't commit. If he gets the disease of backsliding and stays his life and he doesn't get the cure for it, I tell you what, it can take him down the path that he never ever thought he'd ever go down.
Yeah.
So the disease of backsliding is not caused by going out in some deep, dark sin somewhere and getting involved in some kind of sin like that. Well, you say, preacher, what is it that causes the disease of backsliding then? All right? Let me answer that question. Let's let the Word of God answer that question. The disease of backsliding is caused when a born-again Christian, a child of God, stops doing what he knows or she knows he ought to do. That's what causes it. It's when a born-again Christian stops doing what he knows he ought to do. You know, in James chapter number 1, the Bible tells us something very important. You know, a lot of people think they're spiritual because of what they know. You know, they think they're spiritual. I know a lot of the Bible, therefore I am spiritual. You know, that's not what James says. Listen to what James says in chapter 1 and verse number 22. He says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Now, how do we deceive ourselves? When we think that because we know the Word of God, and because we know all these truths of the Word of God, and we know what we ought to do, and how we ought to live, then that makes us spiritual. No, it doesn't. You're deceiving yourself. Okay? The Bible says that what makes you and I spiritual is when we do what we know we ought to do. Say, the problem in most churches today, the problem with most Christians today, is not that they don't know what they ought to do. They know what they ought to do, they're just not doing what they know they ought to do.
Yeah.
And see, that's the disease of backsliding. The disease of backsliding begins to get into your life when you stop doing what you know you ought to do. Say, when you stop doing what you know, you are opening yourself up for the germs of the disease of backsliding to get into your life spiritually and to begin to spread throughout your life as a child of God. Say, it's when you stop doing what you know you ought to do. For instance, the Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 19, "Him that knoweth to do good, doeth it not, to him it is sin." See, if you know to do good, and you don't do it, you know to do right, and you don't do right, that's what sin is saying. See, that's what opens the door up for the disease of backsliding to begin to get into our life and to spread throughout our spiritual life and cause havoc in our homes, cause havoc in our walk with God, cause havoc in our churches, hinders our churches, keeps them from really going forward and really reaching out to a lost and dying world. There are so many Christians who have the disease of backsliding in their life, and whose soul of that, the cause of Christ, is really suffering greatly. We need to look in our life tonight and see whether or not has the disease of backsliding got in your life. In other words, have you stopped doing what you know you ought to do? You know you ought to have a family altar with your family, Dad. You know you ought to do that. You know you ought to read the Bible with your children, but you've stopped doing it. You know you ought to read the Bible every day. You know you should do that, but you're not doing it. You know you ought to have prayer. You know you ought to have prayer with your wife. You ought to have prayer with your kids. You ought to have a prayer individually in your own personal life, but you've stopped praying. You know you ought to witness. You know you ought to get the gospel out. You know you ought to pass out tracts. You know you ought to go out soul winning, but you stop doing it. See, you know you ought to be in church, but you stop going to church regularly. You know, you're taking a job, taking out of church. Got involved in some sports and stuff like that, taking out of church, you know. Hey, summertime comes, and, you know, Little League gets going, and you know what happens? A lot of parents, they stop doing what they know they ought to do. They know they ought to have their kids in church, but you know what? They let those kids get involved in Little League games that happen on Wednesday nights, and you know what? The kids aren't in church. They're out there playing ball.
Yeah.
You know, that's what allows the disease of backsliding in our life. See, we know we ought to live holy lives, but you know what? We stop living holy lives and we start watching stuff on TV that we have no business to watch. And we start, communicating with people on the cell phone that we ought not to communicate. We start calling phone numbers on the cell phone that we ought not to call. And we stop doing what we all know we ought to do, and we start doing what we know we ought not to do. See, that's what causes disease of backsliding in our life. We stop doing what we know. We know we ought to forgive. But we stop forgiving. We carry a grudge. We know that we ought not to have malice in our heart towards somebody, ill will towards somebody. But we stop, living that kind of life, a spirit-filled life. And we stop yielding the Holy Spirit. As a result of that, we get filled with the flesh. And we start making choices in the flesh.
Instead of yielding to the Spirit of God daily and having the fruit of the Spirit come forth for our life, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness of faith, and temperance, you know what? What comes out of life is rooted in the flesh. The Bible says, all kinds of iniquity come out. You know, malice and hatred and ill will and evil speaking. Why? Because we're living in the flesh. See, that's what backsliding is. That's how you get the disease of backsliding in your life. It's when you stop doing what you know you ought to do. That's when you allow that the germ of the disease of backsliding get in you, and it begins to spread. It begins to spread throughout your walk with God. It begins to affect your family. It begins to affect your personal life. It affects people at church. And it spreads. It affects the community. It keeps you from being the light that you ought to be and the salt that we ought to be in this old wicked world. And pretty soon we're conforming to the world. And pretty soon we want to be like the world. And there's so many churches today.
Yeah.
Who are like the world. They're not, you know, singing the old songs. And they've got, you know, the beat music of the world. And they got the dress of the world. And you know what? Why? Because the disease of backsliding got into their life. They stopped doing what they know they ought to do. And that disease of backsliding has gotten into their life. So if you're going to keep the disease of backsliding out of your life, you need to know what causes it. What is it caused? It's not caused by being unsaved. It's not caused by losing your salvation. It's not caused by going in the depths of some sin. It may be the result of it if you don't get the cure for it. But it's caused by stopping doing what you know you ought to do. Let me ask you something. Is the Spirit of God pointing out to you something that you know you ought to do and you're not doing it? Hey, that's what opens the door up for the disease of backsliding you've sent into your life. All right, now let's look at the second thing. If you're not going to keep this disease of backsliding out of our life, not only do we need to know what caused it, but secondly, we need to know what the consequences of it are. What are the consequences of the disease of backsliding? You know, if you can keep the disease of let's say, cancer out of your life, would you want to do it? If you knew that this thing would, keep the disease of cancer out of your life, or, you know, maybe this particular food or this particular remedy would keep that, would you do it? You say, oh, man, I sure would. You know, why would you do that? Well, cancer is very fearful, isn't it? It's a very fearful thing. You know, it is. And, you know, I tell you what, the disease of backsliding is a fearful thing. It's a fearful thing to have it get in your life. It's a fearful thing to have this disease in your life tonight. Is it there? Have you stopped doing what you know you ought to do in some area of your life? Walking with God. Faith. You know, it's a fearful thing to let that disease get in your life. I want you to see the fearful consequences that come in the life of a person who gets this disease of backsliding in their life. The first fearful consequence is wickedness. Look at your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 2, verse number 19. The Bible says, thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it's an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God. And what does it mean to forsake the Lord thy God? It means to stop doing what you know you ought to do. That's what it means. It's a fearful thing. And the Bible says it causes wickedness. Now, when we think of wickedness, what do we think of? We think of somebody going out and committing adultery. We think of somebody going out and committing fornication, don't we? When we think of wickedness, we think of someone going out and looking at pornography or getting involved or wife swapping or something of that nature. And we look at those things. That's wickedness. Now, certainly it is wickedness. But you know, some folks, the Bible calls wickedness something else. The Bible calls wickedness not doing what you know you ought to do.
Right.
Do you know that's wickedness?
Amen.
Not doing what you know you ought to do. In Matthew chapter 25, the Bible tells us about three different men. One of those men had five talents, and you know, he took those talents out, and he did what he knew he was supposed to do, those talents. And Jesus came back, and he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. And then there was one guy that had two talents, you know, and he took his two talents and he did what he knew he was supposed to do, those talents. And Jesus came back and he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Then there was one guy that only had one talent. And you know, he was fooled by the value of one. he was fooled into thinking that one wasn't that important. I want to tell you something, my friend. One soul is important to God.
Amen.
One person getting saved is important to God. Amen. There's rejoicing in heaven over one that's brought back. Sheep that's wandering astray, brought back in the fold. There's rejoicing over the value of one. Don't ever think, well, it's not that important, you know, that I'm not doing what I know I should do. My friend, it is important. You're valuable. You can make a contribution. You can hinder or you can help. And you know, this guy, he didn't think that, his one talent was that important. And so he didn't do what he knew he was supposed to do, that talent. He went out and he buried it. He didn't do what he knew he was supposed to do. And the Lord Jesus came back and said to that one fella that didn't do what he knew he was supposed to do with his talent, to use it. You know what? He came back, Jesus came back and said, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." Think of that. Jesus said he was a wicked servant. What did he do? Did he go out and commit adultery? Go out and murder? No. He just didn't do what he knew he was supposed to do. And Jesus said, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." I don't think there's a Christian in this building who wants to be wicked, you know, in the eyes of the Lord. I don't think you want to hear Jesus say, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." I don't want to hear him say that to me. You know what I want to hear Jesus say? I want to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant."
Amen.
That's what I want. I want that WD degree. Amen? You know, I got a high school degree. I got a college degree. I even got an honorary DD degree from a Bible college a number of years ago. And you know what that means? The DD stands for doubly dangerous. You know, when somebody's got that DD, that's what it stands for, doubly dangerous. I got that degree. But folks, I throw them all out that window right there, because the one degree I want to get more than anything else is, "Well done." Don't you want to hear Jesus say,
"Amen"?
Well,
amen.
Boy, I do.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear him say, "Thou wicked." You know what that means? Hey, you know what that means? That means I've got to keep the disease of backsliding out of my life. Because you know what? That man got backslidden. That one guy that had the one town. He said, "Well, you know, I'm not going to do what I'm supposed to do with this town." And Jesus said, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." You ought to fear the disease of backsliding. If it's in your life, you ought to fear it. Why? Because it causes you to have a wickedness in your life. See, before a holy God, you're in a wicked condition. And you need to get rid of that wickedness tonight. You know, you need to deal with that wickedness so we can have the blessing of God and the use of God. And you can hear Jesus say one day, "Well done." He's coming soon. And maybe tonight, you'd stand before him. If you got the disease of backsliding in your life, he's not going to say, "Well done." He's going to say, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." It's a fearful thing to have this disease. Don't you see it? Number one, because it causes wickedness. Secondly, it's a fearful thing because the consequence is not only wickedness, the consequence of the disease being in your life is there will be more sin coming. There will be more sin coming. Look at your Bible, at Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 13. "Only acknowledge that iniquity," all right, the iniquity of not doing what you know you ought to do, "that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God." See, there are two different words here. There's iniquity and there's transgressing. Iniquity speaks of sins, of omission. And then it goes on to talk about transgression. That speaks of sins of commission. Those are the two kinds of sins. You know that we can have our lives. Sins of omission. Omitting things that we know we ought to do. You see, what happens when we get this disease of backsliding in our life, which is caused by omitting things that we know we ought to do from our life, and that we allow that disease to stay there, it's going to lead to sins of commission. We're going to be doing things that we shouldn't do. Yeah. See, when you stop doing what you should do, that's what leads to doing things that you shouldn't do. So, I think of David. You remember David in the Bible? David was the great man of God. He went out against Goliath, you remember? And he slew Goliath. And what a tremendous man of God he was. But you know something? David was a man who committed adultery. Think of that. I mean, this man of great faith, he went out against Goliath and got that sling going around, you know? And he let that stone go. And man, that stone hit old Goliath. Someone said that when that stone hit Goliath in the head, he, said this to himself. He said, "Boy, it's the first time that's ever entered my mind before." But oh, I'll tell you something, David man of faith. Yeah, that's the kind of faith you go up against a 9-foot-2 Goliath with a stone. I might go against one with a bazooka or a few grenades, amen. But you know, all the faith this man had, David, to go against this mighty Goliath, right? Had tremendous faith. And oh, how he loved the Lord. You read the book of Psalms and how he pours out his heart in love for God and devotion to God. But this same man went out and committed adultery with Bathsheba. How did it ever take place? He stopped doing what he knew he was supposed to do. See, David knew he was supposed to lead the people in battle. That was his responsibility as a king. He's supposed to lead the people out in battle. But David got lazy. And David said, you know what? I'm tired. I don't think I'm going to do what I know I'm supposed to do today. I'm not going to lead the people in battle. I'm just going to stay home and take it easy, you know? So many people, you know, they know, I'm not going to go to church tonight. I'm not going to be faithful. I've been faithful for 20 years. I'm going to stop being faithful. I'm going to stop going to prayer. I'm going to stop Sunday night service. I'm going to stop tithing. You know, I'm not going to do what I know how to do. And you know what? That's exactly what David did. And he went out and he saw that woman, Bathsheba. And you remember the horrible story, how he lusted after her, he committed that sin of adultery. And you know, most of us don't remember David by Goliath. We remember David, unfortunately, by the fact that he committed adultery with Bathsheba. He stained his life. He scarred his life greatly.
Yeah.
Because he got the disease of backsliding his life. See, he stopped doing what he knew he should do. As a result of that, the sin of omission led to the sin of commission in his life. So, I'll never forget, I was in a church in Pennsylvania a number of years ago, and there was a man came forward, and he was weeping, he was crying in the revival meeting I was preaching at, and he wanted to speak to me. So we went back to their back room, and I tell you what, he's just weeping. I said, sir, I don't know what the problem is, but the Lord can meet your need. And I didn't have to have him tell me what he had got involved in, but he just felt he wanted to. And he said, Brother Gilmer, said, I'm a deacon in this church. He said, I would go through the store and I'd see this pornography sitting over there. He said, I'd walk right by it. I'd turn my head again. I wouldn't look at that filthy, wicked stuff. He said, I'd walk right by it. But he said, one day I stopped right in front of that pornographic display. And he said, I reached out and I took that magazine and I looked at it. He said, oh, I wish I never had. He said, I knew I defiled myself. He said, I asked the Lord to forgive me. Praise God for 1 John 1:9, amen. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But he said, Brother Gilmore, he said, that picture just keeps coming in my mind. What can I do to get that picture out of my mind? I said, sir, there's only one way to have a clean mind. I said, you've got to cleanse your mind with the Word of God.
Yeah.
I said, you've got to read this book like you've never read it. You've got to memorize it, study it, hear it, preach. You've got to know it. Just get in the Word of God like you never have. And so I told him that. And we had prayer. And after we had prayer, I said, sir, listen, I need you to help me. Listen, I can fall in that same trap that you fall into. What is it that caused you to stop and take that thing, and you know it's wrong, you know it's wicked. What caused you to do it? He said, preacher, without batting an eye, he said, I stopped reading my Bible every day. You see, the sins of omission, he omitted doing what he knew he should do. As a result of that, it led to the sins of commission. Listen, I'm talking to someone in this building. I'm talking to a man. I'm talking to a lady. I'm talking to a teenager here. You stop doing what you know you ought to do. And you know what? If you don't get that disease of backsliding cured tonight, it's going to lead you to doing something you know you shouldn't do. It's going to bring the sins of commission into your life. See, you've got to fear this disease of backsliding. You've got to fear it being there just as much as you fear cancer, you know? You have to fear this disease of backsliding getting into your life. Do you fear it tonight? You know, that's what's missing in the average Christian's life. They don't have any fear of God. They don't have any fear of backsliding. They don't have fear of stopping doing what they know they ought to do. There's another reason why you have to fear this disease of backsliding, and that is because it gives the devil the victory. It gives the devil the victory. Look at your Bible in Jeremiah chapter 4, please. The Bible says in verse number 7 of Jeremiah 4, the lion has come up from his thicket, and to destroy the Gentiles is on his way. He has gone forth from his place to make thy land desolate, and the city shall be laid waste without an inhabitant. Now the lion here is a direct reference to Nebuchadnezzar. He's coming up, and because the people of Israel had stopped doing what they knew they should do, and they'd gotten far away from God, and they'd commit all kinds of sins of commission, here we find that the lion, referring here to Nebuchadnezzar, is going to come and bring judgment upon the people of Israel. And they're going to be taken away into captivity unless they get the disease of backsliding cured in their life. You know what? They never did. They ended up being captured by Nebuchadnezzar and taken away into captivity. Oh, I'll tell you something. What a sad thing it was. It was because they didn't deal with the disease of backsliding down their life. They didn't deal with it. And as a result of that, the lion came up, Nebuchadnezzar, and he just had a great victory over the people. You know, there's another lion in the Bible, and that's the lion of the devil. The devil's a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. The devil is roaring lion. He walks about trying to get you to stop doing what you know you ought to do. Say, I mean, he's lying. He doesn't just come and try to get you to go out there and, you know, get involved in some big fat sins. You know, he's very sly and subtle. He just wants you to stop doing what you know you ought to do. Because he knows that when you do that, you have no defense. He knows that you're weak. And you're easily going to give in to temptation. So he loves to get Christians think, oh, you know I shouldn't be I should be doing this. I know I'm not doing it. That's not that big a deal. You know, it's not that bad. Oh, the devil loves for Christians to think that way. And you know, the old devil wants to get the victory. And you know, when we are not doing what we know, the devil gets the victory. You know, I don't know about you, but when the old devil's thrown that pit, I'm going to be so glad, amen. When that old devil's thrown that pit, you know, I'm going to be standing there because, praise God, I've been saved by the grace of God. I'm no longer in the devil's family. And as I'm standing there when that old devil's thrown that pit, and Jesus stand by me and say, Lord, would you mind if I go over and jump up and down a little bit of that lid? And if the one says, okay, I'm going to go over and I'm going to jump up and down. And I say, praise God, the old devil's in the pit. Amen. I like what old Billy Sunday said. Billy said to the great priest, said, you know, as long as the devil's loose, and he said, I got a foot, I'm going to kick him. He said, as long as the devil's loose, and I got a fist, he said, I'm going to slug him. He said, as long as the devil's loose, and I've got some teeth, I'm going to bite him. And if I lose my teeth, he said, I'm going to gum him to death. Boy, I tell you what, I like that kind of spirit, amen.
Amen.
Folks, the devil's real, and he wants you to stop doing what you know you ought to do. Has he been successful? Has he gotten you to stop doing what you know you ought to do? He wants you to stop doing that. Just leave it out of your life. Why? Because he gets the victory. He knows it's not going to be too long that you're going to be easily someone to be conquered. He's going to come in there and he's going to cause you to have a messed up life and cause you to make decisions. Young people, marry some guy that you ought not to marry or some girl that you ought not to marry. Yeah. And miss God's will for your life.
Amen.
God's best for your life.
Amen.
But young people, the devil wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your potential. How does he do it? He starts by getting you to stop doing what you know you ought to obey your parents. And yet you are, this is it. You know that you ought to give honor, but you're rebellious. You got rebellion in your heart. You're rebelling against God. You're rebelling against His ways. You're rebelling against His Word. And I'll tell you something, there's no sin that the devil loves more than the sin of rebellion. You know that you ought to be obedient. You know that you ought to submit to authority and not rebel against it. The authority God's put over you, the authority of your parents, the authority of your pastor, the authority of others in your life. You know that you ought to, but the devil wants you to rebel. He wants you not to do what you know you ought to do. Why? Because then he can get you to follow his plan. His plan that would destroy your potential and your happiness in life. Oh, we need to get this disease of backsliding. And realize that it's something to fear. If it's there, we gotta get the disease cured in our life. You know, before these awful consequences take place in our life. And then lastly, this disease of backsliding, something that you and I ought to fear. If it's there, if it's just there a little bit, if it's just some little area in our life where we stop doing what we know we ought to do. We need to nip in the bud. We need to nip in the bud and get back to doing it. And you know the last thing here that is the fearful consequence of not dealing with this sin of backsliding, this disease of backsliding, is that it will keep you
from the blessings of God. It will withhold the blessings of God from your life. Look at Jeremiah chapter number 3, please, and verse number 3. Bible says, therefore the showers have been withholden. The showers have been withholden. God has showers of blessing. You know, God wants to bless your life with answers to prayer. He wants to bless your life with souls getting saved. He wants to bless your life. You know, He's got all kinds of blessings up there. You know, all kinds of gifts He wants to shower upon us. But the fact that we got the disease of backsliding is withholding those blessings. And we're living in the Christian life as dull as last year's bird's nest. It's a parched Christian life. It's not green grass. Christian life. Bible says the showers have been withholded. There have been no latter rain. And thou hast a hoarse forehead. There's no joy in our life. Our countenance does not reveal a holy life. Why? Because the disease of backsliding is in our life. God says, you know, the showers have been withholden. In Jeremiah chapter number 5 and verse number 25, the Bible says this. It says, your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins are withholding good things from you. See, the backsliding, the disease of backsliding, withholding good things from you. I'll never forget, a number of years ago, you know, I needed to get it.